This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Robert Bryce. He's a senior fellow at the Center for Energy Policy and the Environment at the Manhattan Institute. We want to get his insights on what we can expect with respect to energy policy now that the complexion of Congress will look a lot differently for the next 2 years, as well as what Mr. Bryce has discovered about what would actually be the impact of moving very quickly to new alternative fuels. And Robert, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
One of the first things that the president said at his press conference on Wednesday is that he realizes that given the new Republican gains and even a new Republican majority in the House, that cap and trade will not pass. But his exact words on that is there's more than one way to skin that cat. What do you expect him to do?
He did soft pedal his discussions about energy. And in fact, if you read the transcript, he says that it's clear that energy may be one of the areas where they cannot find any agreement. The Democrats and the Republicans cannot find any agreement going forward, so that it may be pushed off to the side. And that, I think, clearly includes cap and trade. In my view, cap and trade is deader than Grover Cleveland. It is not coming back. There is no way, particularly given the state of the economy. It makes no sense to raise energy prices at this point, and I think that's what will be the view coming from the Republican-controlled House.
The fear on the right, of course, is that he will try to bypass Congress, let the EPA deal with it through its own regulatory process, and even mention at the press conference that the EPA has that mandate due to the Supreme Court decision. Do you have that same fear?
Well, this is really problematic in that if you look at the ruling on ethanol, for instance, that came down from the EPA a few weeks ago, where they approved a move that increases the amount of ethanol that can be blended into motor gasoline by 50%, going from E10 to E15. I think this is just terrible policy, and I think that the House in particular, obviously now, will be, I assume, calling the director of the EPA to testify and explain what the EPA is doing. I expect them to be very combative with EPA when it comes to any kind of enforcement or regulations such as this. And the ethanol example, I think, is a clear one, because in this case, the Obama administration, recall, said, oh, well, the Bush administration didn't pay attention to science, and we're going to pay attention to the science. When the EPA released their finding and their position on going to E15, they said in their own releases that this will make air quality worse. This will increase releases of nitrogen oxide, which forms smog. And yet the EPA has also said we're cracking down on smog in dozens of cities around the country. So, yes, I think this is a serious issue, and how the House will deal with EPA, which in my view, particularly when it comes to ethanol and potentially when it comes to carbon dioxide, this is the crux of the matter. And if they can't pass it legislatively, I worry that they may try and do something bureaucratically.
The stated goal, of course, of the administration is that it wants to transition rather quickly to new clean, renewable, green types of energies, depending on which adjective one wants to use. And you've done research here suggesting that if, in fact, that process goes down the road at the pace this administration would like, it really means good things for China. Explain why that's the case.
If you've been watching the headlines lately, you've seen that China has been reducing exports of rare earth elements. The lanthanides, there are 17 elements that fall under that category. 15 of them are called the lanthanides. They form the second to last row on the periodic table of the elements. These elements are critical commodities in the development of all kinds of green energy technologies, from compact fluorescent light bulbs to high-capacity batteries to high-strength magnets that are used in wind turbines and in hybrid electric and electric cars. Well, if there is this continued push, oh, well, we'll just change our fleet over to electric vehicles and hybrid electric vehicles, all it does is trade one type of import dependence for another. Rather than relying on the global oil market, the most integrated, biggest, most liquid market in human history, we will instead switch our imports dependence to China, which controls about 95% of the global trade in rare earth elements. To me, it's not a good idea.
In terms of the smartest approach forward, we heard from all of the above on the Republican side over the past couple of years, too. Obviously, we know what the Democratic approach is here, though, as we mentioned, the move towards these renewable fuels. What's the smartest way forward, in your opinion? Some say natural gas. Others say nuclear is the way to go, or all of the above. What do you suggest?
The first priority, and this should be the one that is, in fact, stated very clearly, is that we need cheap, abundant, reliable sources of energy throughout the economy. And those should be the first the first tenets of any policy: cheap, abundant, reliable. And then after that, let's say, okay, well, what fits under that? In my new book, it came out in April, Power Hungry, I say the fuels of the future are clearly natural gas and nuclear. These are the fuels that are now make sense in the global economy. They are the ones that fit very clearly with three key mega trends that are underway globally: decarbonization, urbanization, electrification. This is the way the world is going. And if they wanted to appoint me head of Department of Energy or put me in charge of energy policy in the U.S. or around the world, I'd say, look, we're going to continue using coal and oil for a long time to come. But the fuels of the future are clearly natural gas and nuclear. We should be preparing and making ready our ability to move toward those fuels, even while we're using coal and oil.
Robert, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your insights today.
Thanks a million.
Robert Bryce is a senior fellow at the Center for Energy Policy and the Environment at the Manhattan Institute. As you just heard, his new book is entitled Power Hungry. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.